Our first reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of John. It's chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, 'I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. And the second reading is taken from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. Then Peter began to speak, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message of God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Wow, what a week we've had. Last week, those of us that were here were waving palm crosses Remember that singing about Jesus riding into town on a donkey. Then we had Good Friday, when we remembered that they arrested Jesus and put him on a cross until he died. And then they put his body in a burial tomb. And they put a stone across the entrance. And they even put a guard there. So, in the reading that we've just had, thank you very much, Alan, what is the disciple Peter talking about when he said God raised him from the dead on the third day, caused him to be seen by those that God had chosen, by those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead? Sounds as though Peter's been in the sun a bit too much. All the Gospels tell us that Jesus was killed. Matthew's Gospel tells us about a guard being there at the tomb. So, maybe we should ask the guard what happened. So by the power of our imaginations, we have a special guest who has travelled through about 2,000 years and as many miles. Please help me welcome the chief of the guard, loyal protector of Rome and watchman over the tomb of Jesus Christ, General Petronius. Hello, sir. Let's give you a microphone, shall we?
What are they?
Well,
he works around a microphone. Oh, a loud talking machine.
It is a pleasure to have you here today. Thank you so much for coming.
Well, I'm grateful for the opportunity to share my experience with as many people as possible. Although, I must say, those people have very strange ways of dressing. This is how everyone is around here. What are those things on their feet? Oh, I've got a pair myself.
Happened time travel.
What's happened to me sandals?
Well, those are called shoes. And they're much more practical for 21st century Eldon Park than sandals. And you would have definitely noticed that if you'd been out there at 6 o'clock this morning. Anyway, we can talk about that later. What I really wanted to bring you out here for was to get a bit more information about what you experienced. What can you tell me a little about your job?
This is not a job, it's a way of life. A devotion to a bigger cause than ourselves. I was an officer of Rome. I was loyal to Caesar and served him at all costs. Roman soldiers are trained to fight, defend, and sacrifice for the state. We live and die for the empire. But some things have changed for me now after what happened with this man, Jesus.
Yes. That's what I want to know more about. That's what we all want to know more about. Had you heard of Jesus before his arrest and execution? Did you know anything about him?
Yes, I'd heard of him. Another upstart trying to threaten the power of Rome. Or so I thought. There were a lot of people who went wild for Jesus, following around, listening to his teachings, marvelling at his miracles. He made some pretty incredible claims, though. He said he was the Son of God. And there were many who believed that. He said that love was the greatest commandment. Love can't control people. Love has no power. I wouldn't have paid much attention if there hadn't been a political threat posed. I have charge of 100 men. I don't have time for raving carpenters claiming to be messiahs. Some thought he'd come to overthrow the government. No man can challenge the authority of Rome, but if anyone tried, I would swiftly eliminate them.
So, Jesus was put on trial and taken to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. Is that correct?
That's correct. See, it was the priests and Pharisees who really wanted him dead. The Jewish leaders were the ones who saw the biggest threat from what Jesus was saying and doing, but they didn't have the power to. condemn someone to death. Only Rome has that power. So Pilate had to agree to hand over Jesus to be crucified.
And from what I understand, crucifixion was the method that Romans would use for criminals to set an example for other people to avoid further crime.
That's right. It was pretty awful. Before we took Jesus to be crucified, we mocked him, we beat him, we spat on him, and put a crown of thorns on his head to make fun of what he claimed to be, for being the king of the Jews. But we were following orders, doing what we always did. If only we knew. Jesus didn't even put up a fight. He let it all happen, like he accepted it. Like he had to die for some reason.
And after all that, Jesus was crucified and died.
Yes, but I'll spare you the gory details. But crucifixion is not a pretty thing. But while he was hanging on that cross, he spoke. One thing he said was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That caught my attention. A man writhing in pain, dying, and taking time to speak forgiveness to his killers. A man that could love so deeply that even death couldn't deter him. And when he finally died, the earth shook. It struck me that there was no mere man. He was either a lunatic, a liar, or he was the Lord.
So what happened next?
There was a rich man who asked Pilate for the body. So he gave it to him. And he laid it in a stone tomb. I thought that was that, but it wasn't quite over. We received a request for a new assignment.
An assignment? Oh, you mean the guard duty?
Yes, some of the priests were worried because Jesus said he would rise from the dead. They thought his followers might come and steal the body. So we were put on watch and secured the tomb. First, we rolled a 6-foot stone over the entrance and sealed it with the wax of the sacred Roman seal. Breaking that seal is punishable by death. Then our company took turns, 4 hours at a time, standing guard. There was no slouch duty. If a prisoner escapes from a guard, the punishment is execution. If something had happened, we'd all forfeit our lives. If one of us fell asleep, it would be all over for us. But guarding a dead man's tomb shouldn't have been too much of a challenge. He was dead after all.
But actually, it wasn't a peaceful job, was it?
Well, Sunday morning, I was on watch. Some women were approaching the tomb, and I was ready to send them off and put them in their place, because they were only women, you know. Suddenly, there was a blinding light and a huge earthquake. A terrifying figure came and rolled this 1,000-pound stone away like a pebble. And then sat down on top of it. He looked like lightning. That was all I remember seeing for a while.
Well, what do you think happened?
I'm no scholar, but it doesn't take a genius to figure that one out. This earthquake was sent by God. An angel moved that stone. Jesus was no quack zealot saying crazy things. He truly was the Son of God, and he proved it that morning. Still, we were in a tight spot. How could we explain this to the people who had hired us? We were assigned to guard that tomb on pain of death, and the body was dead, and we might have to be killed.
So what did you do?
We went to the city and told the chief priests what happened.
So did they believe it? Did they know it was an angel? And did they change their ways and recognise that Jesus was the Lord and Messiah?
No. Now, I don't know if it ever crossed their minds. They were set on getting rid of Jesus, and nothing could convince them otherwise. The priest bribed us. They told us to tell people the disciples came and stole the body. They gave us a generous amount of money to spread this word around and promised to keep us out of trouble. What a joke. There's no way the disciples could have gotten past us, moved that huge stone and taken the body. Impossible. Most of my fellow soldiers were willing to spread the lie, though, to keep the money and save their skins.
So, what about you?
I was a Roman soldier for over 15 years. I've seen a lot of that time, and nothing could keep me from service to Caesar until now. I've switched loyalties. If this man could cause earthquakes and angels and miracles, what else could he do? When Caesar dies, he doesn't come back to life. Rome won't last forever. I need to learn more about Jesus. I need to find his disciples and learn how I can be one of them too. I don't know how I will do it, but I need to serve this God they know.
But won't that mean giving up your job, your status, and maybe even your life? What if they kill you too?
My life is worth nothing if I'm living for the wrong things. True, I am setting aside my position and I will probably die, but I'd rather die for Jesus than live for anything else.
Wow. Petronius, thank you so much for that remarkable eyewitness account. I'll let you get back to your time now and back to your sandals. And maybe you can tell Jesus hello for me if you see him.
You're very welcome. And I'll let you talk to him yourself. He's alive now, too, you know. Everyone here can meet him. Anyway, I've got some good Roman food to tuck into this special day.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, how about that? Maybe the disciple Peter hadn't been in the sun too much after all. The body of Jesus had gone from the tomb. And then the disciples remembered the things that Jesus had taught them. And now they made more sense. He had commanded them to teach that Jesus is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. That's what the prophets all through the Bible had already been teaching. And that everyone, the disciples sitting here now in Elmden, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. General Petronius was right when he said that Emperor Caesar wouldn't come back to life. He didn't. And the Roman Empire is long gone. But Jesus is still around. We are still talking to him. That's why we're here, still praising him. Those disciples, they taught the message of Jesus throughout the world, across the millennia. And now we the Christians here in Elmden, we are the disciples. Now it's our watch. Now it's our job to tell people about Jesus. And we can. We can because we know, even though they tried to get rid of him, we know that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.